live from the WGY studios every Sunday.
This is the Paul Potrat Show.
Stop spraying and praying. You're wasting money.
Millennials aren't lazy. It's how you lead them.
When you sell by price, you die by price.
The Paul Potrat Show, helping your business grow and stay relevant.
Covering the latest technology for business, leadership trends, and changing your mindset on marketing.
Now, your hosts, Paul Potrat, the business architect, and Samantha Zewalinski, the millennial entrepreneur.
Good morning, Paul. How's your Sunday going?
Wonderful, Samantha. And you know what I think is very important? That people need to go to Facebook and see your lovely outfit.
That's what we always say, right? We're on a radio show, but we dress for TV.
Exactly. And my checkerboard outfit.
So well, it's probably because you have a phone in my face with some Instagram Live, some things like that.
So well, I think it's important that we really blow up Instagram Live. I mean, I love Instagram Live. It's like I'm a little freak show on this now, because I can do my little short 15-second videos, mm-hmm. and then I can go in and I can see people that are looking at my videos, and then I know to stalk them or not stalk them.
Well, and it's work-related, right? So you can use it as an excuse to have to do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, seriously. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago. I think a lot of business owners, and still a lot of business owners, that they would say, oh, let's lock down Facebook. Let's lock down YouTube so our employees don't do that. And I think that can make sense depending on the business that you're in. But I mean, this is really the modern day networking party.
We're a social world. That's not really business minded in a lot of situations.
Exactly. And I mean, I've been really trying to grow my Instagram followers. Have you seen how many Instagram followers I have now?
I haven't, but I know you're killing me.
All right. Yeah, you ready? What is that?
40,000.
40,000. Hey,
wow.
Don't forget the 400.
Oh,
those other 400 people are important,
they count.
Too.
That's true.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm loving it. I mean, it's, and and I've actually connected with a couple people too.
Have you?
Yes. And so, yeah, they probably thought I was a creeper, but
that's
okay.
They can reach out and chat you?
Yeah, so we've been having a conversation. And you know who I connected with on Instagram that I think is pretty funny?
No, but tell me.
The most interesting man in the world.
Oh, your doppelganger.
Doppelganger? What's that mean?
It's like a person who looks like you. Anybody who listens to How I Met Your Mother will know what a doppelganger is.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so, I mean, seriously, what's the beer that he was the spokesperson for?
Is it Dos Equis?
Dos Equis, yes. So we've been going back and forth and talking. He's got a new book and all that fun stuff.
Oh, he should come hang out with us on the show.
Well, that's what we've been talking about. So we're just trying to get it organized so he can come be on the show with us and we can, you know, hear his interesting story about how he made that happen.
Awesome. Well, let's get into today's actionable topics. We'll talk about Instagram maybe on another upcoming episode.
Right.
So. But today we're going to talk about how you may be paying for click fraud.
Click fraud.
We're also going to talk about leadership and how acknowledgement can build your team. And then how changing the game and building value with a simple thank you.
I think those are all wonderful topics.
Good. So let's get into it. So click fraud.
Let's
explain what that is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Click fraud, I mean, really simple. You think about it. If you're running a paid search campaign, that there's your competitors can click your ads and cost you $1 every click, $2, $5, $10, $30, depending what your what you're having to pay per click, depending on your mm-hmm. industry. But it gets much, much deeper than that. Not just your competitors. I mean, because I've definitely met a number of people like, oh, I'm going to go click my competitor's ad, saying jokingly. I don't mm-hmm. think they really would, but there's definitely people that would do that. But there's also bots out there. In other words, little programs that are online that will target an advertiser's campaign. Mm-hmm. And we'll just start clicking. And what it will do is it will click from different locations, so it's not as trackable.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's also a couple other types of click fraud. There's where you're actually hitting real people, but the wrong audience, because yep. you're supposed to be targeting a specific set of individuals through your campaigns. And there's actually three more or so other types of, but those are the most popular ones you mentioned.
Right, exactly. You know, I think it's important, though, to really just talk about search engine marketing. A lot of times individuals get search engine marketing confused with search engine optimization. And search engine marketing is paid search. That's where you would go in and let's say that you're, for example, like that you're a travel agent, that you actually book trips for individuals to go to Italy and mm-hmm. France. And I say that because I know a woman. We had quite the discussion about click fraud. But that's what she does, is she books trips to individuals to go to Italy and France and Paris and all that. And, what's really interesting with that, and I just kind of lost my thought on that.
So click fraud, SEO, SEM.
SEM.
So being a travel agent, how maybe you're kind of creating campaigns and what you're doing to attract audience and build that. So I think a lot of people, like you mentioned, get confused between SEO and SEM. So what's the difference?
Yes. So there you go. So search engine marketing. So she's buying a lot of keywords, for example, exotic trip to Italy, romantic trip to Italy, trip to Italy. So she's buying these terms, and these terms are easily, $8, $10, $12, $15.
And that's when you go to a platform like Google, Bing, Yahoo, and you're actually searching something, and those top three ads are on the sidebar. Those ads show up as SEM.
Right. On the
those paid ads.
On the top bar, on the very, very top, that you'll see those three different ads at the very top. And, you click that, you go to their website.
And so she has to buy those keywords, and they're really expensive.
Right. It's kind of like day trading is what it is. I mean, it might be $8. It might be $2, depending how much competition is in play. So if it's her and five of her competitors doing it, it's going to drive the cost up.
Of course.
So you kind of think about what it is. These other companies or other marketers, what they can say is more or less, let's put together a bot. In other words, something that will go and will click our competitors' ads and use their budget up, because then what the search engines will do is it will pull them down more or less, and now your ads will cost you less because you have less competition. And there is that's SEM, and I mean, so you can kind of think about all the different opportunities for fraud for that. I mean let's be honest, I'm not saying this could happen, but I'm not saying it couldn't happen. What if one of the search engines that offers pay-per-click search advertising has got their annual report coming up, and they need to hit a financial number? And you think about all the advertisers out there, and if you're just costing advertisers an additional, let's say, $500 a month, well, that's a lot to a small business. That's not a lot to,
your large corporations.
Yeah. Which could even be $5,000. But, as a business owner, you start to wonder, I'm spending all this money, but I'm not getting any phone calls. I'm not getting any leads through my website. And there's a number of factors, but you can waste a tremendous amount of money. And there's a huge problem with click fraud.
And so that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about click fraud and how you can understand it, how you can create a strategy that doesn't waste your money and make sure it's going to the right place.
Well, there was a recent study that was done that, you kind of think about what click fraud has done. Click fraud has opened up all these additional opportunities for people to open a business now. There's a number of companies online, that's all they do is they monitor your paid search campaigns to see if there's click fraud going on. But guess what? Now you have to pay for this company to monitor your campaign.
You always need something else.
Yeah, you always need something else. But so, I mean, it really is a serious concern. And there was a recent study that you were telling me about.
Yeah, so in the recent study, I was reading that it's over a $16 billion problem in the world of digital advertising. And when you think about that, that $500 adds up to be $16 billion. And even if it's only 50% of that $8 billion, because there's a lot of discrepancy on that number, that's a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah, well, $16 billion was in 2016. And now they're estimating 2017's click fraud to be, I think it was $70.2 billion.
Yeah.
And you think about it. I mean, think about how many business owners did not do, were not doing paid search in 2016. In 2017, they are doing paid search. So, it just compounds.
And when they talk about the different ad platforms that are out there, they say that even the best ad platforms have 2 to 5% of click fraud on them. So even if you're working to combat it as much as possible, you're still going to have it, which is kind of where it brings up how you approach it and how you decide what you do from a business and financial standpoint to combat click fraud.
Right. Well, there was July 12th that there was a more or less a report that came out, not a report, but a warning that, what a Trojan is? It's a virus.
Yep.
So there's a virus. It's called the Magella. It's M-A-G-A-L-A. So M-A-G-A-L-A Trojan. And what it does is it hijacks Internet Explorer, then commits click fraud. So what it's doing is it a person can have this Trojan virus on their computer and they don't even know it.
So it's kind of working behind the scenes.
It works behind the scenes. So it can, and it goes to Internet Explorer. And what it does is it sets up additional browsers in the background and it's pinging different IP addresses. So it looks like the clicks are coming from different parts of the country and it could be operating. I mean, seriously, if you were not on an Apple, well, even if you are, but if you're sitting there in front of your PC, this thing could be running in the background, costing some company hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, and you don't even know it.
That's amazing. I didn't even hear about that yet.
And you kind of think, so why would somebody create that? Well, they're tracking it and they're trying to find out more about where it came from, but they have they found out that it's coming from, it's an advertiser's Trojan. So in other words, it's like a company that offers paid search. And they created this virus to run so their clients' campaigns are getting more clicks. So the client's like, wow, I'm getting all these clicks.
So they're inflating their numbers.
Yeah, so then that search engine marketing company looks better in the client's eyes that they're getting all these clicks.
Well, and that kind of is where, as in a business, you need to be educated about what's going on. So clicks don't equal conversions. We talk about that a lot. Sometimes it does. But if you're not paying attention to what that information is doing and what it looks like, you could just be saying, oh, great, I'm getting all of this traffic. And then in a couple of months from now, you say, well, I just spent tens of thousands of dollars or even a couple hundred dollars. But what did it equal? And it's nothing because of that Trojan you mentioned.
Right. And then, you know, what's the excuse? I mean, the justification in your mind is like, all right, maybe my website, and I mean, this is true. This is valid. I mean, this is a valid thing, but maybe my website's not right. Maybe my website doesn't load fast enough. Maybe my pricing's wrong. Maybe my pictures aren't good. So you get into this vicious cycle where you're just spinning and spinning of trying to fix those things. And month in, month out, you're spending thousands of dollars and you're not getting any more sales.
So you mentioned that, right? So now as a business owner, we're trying to justify why it's not equaling anything for us. So what should I do as a business owner or manager or somebody looking at these analytics to say, okay, I'm not getting what I need from it, obviously, because nothing's happening on my business growth. What do we do?
Well, there's a number of things you can do. One, I think that the biggest one, and I mean, I'll say this, but really understand your analytics. Because a lot of people, they're looking at the analytics, and the way they measure analytics is, what's my bounce rate? What's my time on website? You know, they're looking at those really basic analytics that they're not diving into it. They're not looking at behavior flow. They don't do heat mapping. I mean, I would look at heat mapping on your website. You can do that through, was it Hitbox, I think is what it is?
Or Hotjar.
Hotjar.
Crazy Egg. Those are two companies you could use.
And Hotjar, I mean, and they have free platforms, but like Hotjar will do a recording of where a person's clicking through your website so you can see what's happening and start to determine whether or not it's real. Another thing that I think is great, I mean, you know, that we do this, and it's marketing automation or inbound marketing, because then we can see individuals that are visiting the website. We can see it by name, phone number, email address, IP address, everything. So we can see who they are as a real individual, and that helps you determine more. Let me kind of sidetrack just a little bit. And talking about click fraud, because there's one, and you mentioned this, there's other types of click fraud, but I think it's important that individuals understand, like with display advertising, that there's a number, and display is a visual, so it's like a...
So graphics-based ads you see on like CNN or MSNBC.
Or somebody's recipe website.
Correct. Or a lot
outdoor.
Of bloggers
yeah,
is where you're going to see a lot of those ads.
So not to scare anybody, but you think about it. Yeah, there's a lot of bloggers out there that's built these websites and they have a lot of traffic coming to the website. So they have the ability to do what's called Google AdSense. And there's a number of companies that will do this for them. But more or less, it's like, hey, I'm a blogger. I've got a website. I have a lot of traffic. I want to be able to sell advertising on my website. And so these companies will say, okay, great. We have the, we're going to put advertisers on your website that's relative. Let's say you talk about outdoor. So we're going to put a fishing company on there. And so what happens is, you think about this. So the the pay-per-click company is splitting the money with the blogger, so the blogger makes more money. What's to stop that blogger? Because I mean, it's easily, you could pay $5 a click, $10 a click. What's to stop that blogger to say, you know what, I would like to make an additional $400 this month, and to just click those ads?
Nothing in all reality.
Yeah. So, and I mean, and this isn't, you know, to scare anybody. It's, you need to be aware.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's so much out there. I mean, the other thing is, too, is where you're talking about the different ad networks, really spend some time and understand where you are utilizing a network to drive these ads out there, because that's where a lot of the click fraud actually happens, is in the rebrokering of the actual inventory. So you go through Google AdSense. I'm not saying this is that platform that does it, but you go through a platform similar to that. They run out of inventory because there's a plethora of individuals who want their ads in your region to show up. So they rebroker it. And then now your request for a specific age, gender, demographic gets muddied. And now you have the wrong people, or you have the wrong ad. And that's another type of click fraud.
Right, exactly. You know, I think what we should do is, because I mean, like, we're the one woman with the travel agency and everything, mm-hmm. is, and we evaluated her account and we found out that she was losing thousands of dollars every month. Why don't we make the offer?
To do an evaluation for our audience?
Let's do an evaluation. I mean, so think about that. If you do pay-per-click, if you do search advertising, really, if you do any advertising, what I want you to do is just go to our website, paulpotratz.com. Were you going to do it on that website?
Yeah, we can go to paulpotratz.com, and what'll happen is you'll see a free report card evaluation offer. Go ahead and fill in that form, and somebody from our team will reach back out to you to get all of the information we need. We'll do a free evaluation of all of your analytics and provide some recommendations so you can see, am I getting click fraud? Am I getting the best ROI in general? I think we can make some recommendations, take our business breakdown segment on the phone just with you about your analytics in your business.
Right, yeah. And I think, you know, anybody that's talked to me more than three times knows that we are a digital ad agency. Let me clarify, but all platforms are equal, and there is a lot of fraud that goes on. And, you know, I feel like the Zorro, or I don't know if Zorro is a good explanation, or we're the Three Musketeers, or whatever it is that, you know, Robin Hood. That's mm-hmm. it, Robin Hood.
You just had to process and get there,
yeah,
right?
I had to go through superheroes.
Okay.
Three Musketeers are not superheroes. But anyway, you get my point. And, you know, that it's sad. It's ridiculous. And I know sometimes we talk about doing, you know, paid advertising for ourselves, for our agency. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to waste the money. And, you know, we do this for clients all over. And I think it's important that a business owner knows, are they spending their money wisely? So, I mean, and I love seeing this, because then it allows us to do case studies. It allows mm-hmm. us to do white papers and reports. And we're constantly doing reports talking about, you know, waste in advertising. And there's a ton of it.
There's so much. And the other thing is, too, is it kind of lets us work with different businesses and just have fun conversations. We love to do this. We wouldn't have a radio show if we didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll give a shout out to like Northeast Acura. Mm-hmm. I mean, David Ellis from Northeast Acura emailed us, you know, a month ago, and he said, hey, will you guys, you know, come talk to me about my, because he's working with all these various vendors. He's got a, you know, somebody does his email marketing, someone that does his pay-per-click, you know, search advertising, someone that does, I mean, just everything. And he said, can you guys do an evaluation? And, you know, it was just on Friday that mm-hmm. Aaron did the evaluation, and him and his managers were like, oh my goodness, I had no idea.
Yeah, but I mean, they did to some extent, because otherwise they wouldn't have called us.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's knowing, you kind of have that inkling as a business owner, but it's whether you can act on it or not. So that's why we're offering the free report card on paulpotratz.com. And I promise it is not a sales pitch. This is what we want to do to be able to give back and help companies grow and understand that your dollars are being allocated really in a way that makes sense and makes sense for your goals of your organization. So it'll be a free consultation. And then if you need help and would like to talk to us after, but I think if anything, we're probably bad at the sales pitch in most situations. So.
Yeah. And we don't need it for a sales pitch, because I believe in the way you grow your business is you create valuable content mm-hmm. for a business owner. You put the valuable content out there, which establishes you as an authority. And that's what it does. It allows us to go through more analytics of various types of industry and find opportunities that they can improve, opportunities mm-hmm. that they can make more sales. We put that out there, and it just allows the business owners to say, wow, okay, this makes sense. I'm understanding. Because again, a lot of people don't even understand search engine marketing versus search engine optimization. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to get caught up into the buzzwords and, you know, read one of your trade magazines or go to a conference and somebody's on stage with an ulterior motive that they're trying to sell you something. And they're talking about, oh, you need to be doing this. And it might not be right for your business. I mean, we've definitely met companies that was not right for them.
And I think that's it. It's, you know, another perspective, because being in it, sometimes you're so in the business, not on the business. You know, we always talk about that, work on your business, not in your business. And we'll be that other perspective that'll help you see maybe where your efforts are better spent.
Yeah, because it was, I don't know, it was about 3 weeks ago, and we had this business owner called in, and I ended up on the phone talking to him. And they heard that they needed to be doing search advertising. Mm-hmm. And the way that they were wanting to do search advertising in the market that they were in and the money that they were going to have to spend, because there was bigger advertisers that were trying to pump, were pumping mm-hmm. into their market, trying to steal market share, that they would not be able to be competitive. And it's like, you do not need to waste your money in search advertising. Granted, we lost the opportunity. But I feel better about it because, yeah, he could have spent, you know, $7,000-$8,000 a month, but he wouldn't have gotten anything out of it. And he was like, oh, are you sure? And I just hope that he didn't hang up the phone and call somebody else, because I could really tell that he was wanting me to tell him something that I wasn't willing to tell mm-hmm. him, because he'd already convinced himself that's what he needed to be doing.
Well, it's kind of like when you flip a coin, you know, you always, when no matter what answer you get, you always then know what you wish your answer was, because you're either really happy or really sad and you're like, I wish it was the other answer. So in that situation, it's probably a good example of that.
Yeah, exactly is. And I bet you if he called somebody else and they're doing it, that he's going to be calling us again in about 6 months going, man, you were right.
Yeah.
Because I gave him a different direction. I mean, I just didn't shut the door. I mean, I shut the door, but then I opened the window.
Mm-hmm. So always another recommendation. So it's not just a no, it's a no, but do this, or no, exactly. But here's that.
Yeah, and he didn't like that idea.
So we started our conversation by talking about click fraud.
Yes.
And how as business owners, we need to be really aware of what's going on in our advertising and our strategies. And then we offered that free report card on paulpotratz.com where we can do an evaluation of your advertising to help, like you said, not close a door, but maybe open another one. But if you missed any part of that topic, you can listen to us on the iHeartRadio app on demand. All you have to do is search The Paul Potrat Show, and you can reach us, listen to us 24/7. And if you want to be featured on The Business Breakdown, maybe you have a question about click fraud or want to take today's conversation a little bit further, give us a call. We'll be talking about that in our next segment, 855-POTRATZ. That's 855-POTRATZ. But also, go ahead and let's maybe move into our next topic.
Sounds like a good plan to me. And then when you mentioned iHeart app, I want to mention iTunes, because I found it. We're on iTunes, too. I just found that. And I like iTunes.
So okay.
Just throwing that out there. Okay.
So iHeart app or iTunes.
There you go.
We'll probably give you more and more opportunities as the weeks go on. You can also follow Paul on social media. He posts tidbits of each show. And that, who knows, your business could be featured on that.
Exactly.
So talking about business, we're all built on our team. And leadership is a big thing that comes up in our organization all of the time. And so I wanted to take a moment to talk about how we can build, encourage our teams, and how we can recognize them for the successes that they've had in our organization. So I think there's a story you can probably tell about how we've done this.
Well, I think it's important, too. I mean, because, you know, kind of thinking about it, you know, actually for, you know this, but I used to be a station manager here at iHeart. And I was the manager for the River and mm-hmm. Channel and Kiss and all that. And all I have to do is say, thank goodness that Kristen fired me. That's a true story. And because I wouldn't have an agency now if she didn't. But I was always under the mindset of come in, do your job. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear from you. Just come in and do your job.
Yeah.
As simple as that. And I think it's really important as a business owner, as a manager, that it's much more than just come in and do your job. Because your company can never be really successful unless the team members, the individuals that are running the company, love the company.
That's very true. And they need to be aware and acknowledged for that, too.
Yeah. And, you know, and as a manager, you're never, ever going to get 100% buy-in. But if you can get, you know, let's just say 20% of your team to love the company, that's all it will take to grow the company. You don't have to have 100% because there's no such thing as 100% in anything you do.
And if you feel like you have 100%, you're probably missing something. You're not really tuned into something else that's going on.
You're lying
to
yourself. Yeah. So.
And it's okay, though. I think that's the other thing. You know, we had a conversation the other day, and it's okay for that not to be 100%. Just don't let it bother you.
Right. Exactly.
It shouldn't keep you up at night.
Exactly. So why don't you tell about what we do at Potrats? I think this is important. I mean, Christy came up with this idea, the wife, my wife. I said the wife. I'm sorry. my wife. I was corrected by that. But why don't you tell us what we do?
So it was, I don't know, 10 years ago now.
Yep.
So anybody who's familiar with Pike's Place Fish Market in Washington, we kind of adapted this principle from them. So they have this fish philosophy that there are four core principles that their organization is based off of. And we actually found that they really aligned with ours in our organization. And what we do is on a weekly basis, we have a opportunity for our entire organization to get together. We talk about the state of the company, what's happening, and update each other. It's also a great opportunity to build teamwork because we socialize. We do it in a happy hour setting. But we noticed that we needed two things. We needed an opportunity for peers to do peer acknowledgement, and we needed an opportunity for managers to do manager acknowledgement. It's also kind of back to that story where you were saying you thought you just came in and did the 9 to 5 and called it a day. Mm-hmm. But that's what millennials, every generation, are really craving, is the desire to go in and really be acknowledged. So we created the fish philosophy, adapted that from Pike's Place Fish Market. And every week we have team members vote on one of the five principles. Pike's is four. We added five, friendship, yes, because we believe that's a core pillar of our organization. And they vote for a team member, and the team member becomes the fish winner of the week. They get a gift card, they get a little fish toy, and acknowledged on our website and through different social media platforms. And it's a way we've built teamwork and acknowledgement opportunities for those individuals who not just come to work, but come to work and do a great job.
And we give away a little stuffed fish. So I think the best way to understand it is just go to our website, because we have a video that we created, and it's called The Fish Award. Yep. And the video's had thousands of views too. So,
but, and you'll get to meet Christy, your wife.
Yes, my wife. So there you go. And definitely go check it out. It's a great video, but it's a great idea to be able to implement into your company, but you've got to make sure you're consistent with it.
So you can visit and watch that video at pochatsny.com, but we're going to take a quick break for local news and we'll be right back.
It's time for the Business Breakdown.
The 7-minute on-air consultation for you.
Call now for your free business consultation with Paul and Samantha. 1-855-POTRATS.
That's 1-855-768-7289.
Now, let's break it down.
So we have our first caller on the line. Michelle, are you online with us?
Yes, hi.
Hey, thanks for calling into the Paul Potrat Show. Let us know what your business is and your question of the day.
Well, my business is Tidy Time, and we're a 100% plant-based cleaning and home product line. I also have a secondary business called Green Genies. It's a cleaning service, residential green cleaning service based in Albany County.
Okay, great. And what is your question for Paul?
So I really enjoy Instagram for my business as a marketing tool. I've really enjoyed creating galleries and images, but I'm just not sure how to convert those followers into shoppers and really increase traffic to our website and sales through Instagram.
Okay. Hi, Michelle. So the question is, Instagram Live is definitely growing, and are you utilizing that?
I'm not.
Okay.
I haven't.
Okay. So I would definitely start utilizing Instagram Live, and there's a couple reasons why. One, you've got that 15 seconds of video, so that can be a little more compelling, and I would mix that between really two different type of formats. I guess you can say your professional format with great photography, great images, great video, to really kind of stage it where it has that higher end feel. And then, like your first 15 seconds would be the higher end feel. Then your next 15 seconds when you do Instagram Live again, I would make that much more personal, more lifestyle based. And over time, keep on, conveying the message. What exactly is it that you offer? Because a lot of times when we put something on Instagram, we do really great photography, and an individual will see the picture, but they're not really sure what we want them to do. What is the call to action? What is the offer? And I would make sure you're doing that, in your videos to let them know what it is. I mean, great photography is one thing, but let them know what you want them to do. And then the second step, with Instagram Live, you're able to actually see who is watching those videos. So this is going to give you an opportunity. And if you just do a search for like social media CRM, you'll be able to find some various social media CRMs. I mean, you could use any CRM basically, but you'll be able to see who these individuals are, and you'll be able to start creating a list of these individuals find out a little bit about them, because not knowing, is your product, you know, national or is it just really local?
At this point, we're primarily in New York, and we have some products in Virginia. So we're still pretty pretty focused on the East Coast and mainly in New York.
Okay, but you do have the bandwidth to go nationally then. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's perfect. Then Instagram Live, you know, with the stories would be perfect because you can see the individuals that are watching your videos and just start creating a database of those individuals. And, you know, what I would do is I would just take some time in the evening when you're, you know, or have some interns, find those individuals that we would call lions, more or less, the individuals that have a lot of followers and a lot of engagement. And I would reach out to them and see if they'd be interested in sampling your products. And, you know, hey, I'm going to send you some products, but, you know, I want you to do some photography with it. I want you to talk about it. I want you to engage, because you never know when you could go, you know, semi-viral with that. And since there's a lot of that on Instagram, why not?
The other thing is, have you made your profile a business profile on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So that's how you're going to be able to get all of that information. But for anybody else who's listening who hasn't, that's what you need to do to be able to access the analytics and build that list of your audience that Paul's talking about.
Good point. I've completely forgot about that part.
Well, what's great about it is you can also, and Michelle, you may have done this or starting to do it, is tie that back to your Facebook presence, and you'll be able to take all of that analytics to influence content across multiple platforms.
Yeah, good point on that. You take it back to Facebook. I mean, because she could, right, Samantha? She would be able to take them back to Facebook and then have the retargeting in place. And then retargeting is where more or less they're put into a, you know, a bucket more or less. And then when they're online and they're searching and they're looking around, your ads would be following them. And I would be very bold about the ads and say, hey, you've seen us. What are you waiting for? Find out more. You know, those type of things. Does that make sense, what I just said about retargeting?
That I'm not sure I'm familiar with.
Okay.
I guess I'm familiar with the concept that exists, but I just don't know how that works.
Okay. So, yeah, so the concept, really simple, is we've all experienced it. We've went to some different type of website, a place of business. We were looking at a pair of shoes. We left that website, and now those shoes followed us everywhere we went online, whether we were looking at recipes or weather or whatever. So that's retargeting, and Facebook does offer that, and it's very low cost. To be able to do a retargeting campaign, how much would it really cost?
On Facebook, it's just, you know, you could run it for $100 depending on your location and do pretty well with it.
Yeah. So I would definitely do a search. Facebook retargeting, learn a little bit about it, read a little bit about it. It's an easy process to do.
And the benefit is, as you were mentioning, how you like to use Instagram images, influencers. With Facebook retargeting, you can also target individuals' friends who have engaged with your page. So now you're building a localized audience based on those social proof pieces. So that's going to be another benefit there too.
Great.
Okay, I hope we helped you, Michelle. If you get caught up anytime, just go to our Facebook page and post your question, and we will be more than happy to answer the question and help you out. But thanks for calling.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
So we're getting ready for our next caller from the Business Breakdown, but if you'd like to be our third caller of the day, give us a call at 855-POTRATS. That's 855-POTRATS with a Z, where you can be our next caller, letting us know what your question is and giving us a little bit of information about your business. Do we have our second caller on the line?
Hi, it's Maria.
Hi, Maria. Tell me a little bit about your company and what your question is for Paul.
Sure. So I am a co-owner of ExtendHer, and we make clip-on jacket extension panels that enhance your coats, making them larger. So it's perfect for the expected mom and also after they have a baby.
Okay. Hi, Maria. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Good.
So what's your question for Paul?
So my question is, Paul, we've been in business about 2.5 years. We've had a tremendous run. Things are going very well. The biggest challenge that we have is reaching the individuals who are gift buyers and getting them to understand that, hey, this makes the perfect gift for that new mom. So my question is, you know, how do I get that? And how do I make people think of, hey, I should order an extender? You know, how do I get them to recognize that this would be the perfect gift?
Okay, fair enough. So I love to tell stories, so let's kind of go into a story a little bit, okay?
Sure.
Okay. So when I talk about floral, and I want you to kind of think back when you were really young and thinking about flowers, and, you know, maybe your dad used to get flowers for your mom, but what florist comes to mind? And can you think of the florist name, or can you think of their logo?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I mean, to be honest with you, it was always like an FTD, FTD florist.
Right, exactly. So they did a fantastic job branding. Do you remember their logo and what their logo looks like?
Is it someone running or someone on the run? It's sort of like an action, action logo.
Exactly, with a bouquet of flowers and some kind of thing on their head and all that. But it's did I just give you a visual, though? Did you get a visual?
Yes.
Can you kind of see it in your mind?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So they had the same problem many, many, many years ago. That, you know, they were just a floral shop and they were selling flowers. And they said, you know, it would make a lot of sense if we could really get individuals to think about gifting flowers is what we want to do. So we're pulling up your website right now and looking at your website. I don't see anything on there about giving the gift of extender. And that's the way we are as consumers, that we have to, you know, marketers really have to tell the consumer, what do you want them to do? You have to get, you know, front and center and say, have you thought about this? Because if you think about it, I mean, what businesses pop up when you think about, oh, you know, I need to get a gift for someone. I want to get a gift for, you know, a wedding, or I want to get a gift for a birthday, or I want to get a gift for a baby shower or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you kind of think about that. And I can think of a number of companies, as you can too. I mean, what about a gift registry on your website? You know, getting your website more or less listed into a gift registry, kind of an easy process to do. It will take a little bit of work, but front and center on your website, I would really do your research. Do your research on, for example, like, you know, FTD Florist. Do your research on, Pecan Jacks. I mean, that's a really small company in Virginia. Find those companies that are really pushing the, you know, gifting, and I would get that into your website. I would also, you know, so it would be front and center on your website. I would promote it on social media, so people say, oh yeah, let's do that. And I would start targeting individuals, you know, for, would it make sense for baby showers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, looking for the ideal baby shower gift, there you go. And so I would really start talking that conversation. Because again, like on your website, I don't see any of that conversation. On your Facebook page, I don't see any of that conversation. So like on your website right now, I see really big, it says made in the USA. I would make that a little smaller. And the reason being, I mean, made in the USA, how important is that to the vast majority of people? Sometimes we think it is, and sometimes we're not really sure. And, you know, and I can think of another story, a squirrel, here I go. But, you know, maybe instead of made in the USA, get very personal. I mean, it's made in the USA, but who makes it in the USA? I mean, tell your story on that. But my point is, shrink that down. That's ideal real estate right there for talking about your gifting program.
And on your website, you have some testimonials. It would be great to see a testimonial if you're trouble and your obstacle has been getting people to think of you as a gift. Tell them about somebody who did think of you as a gift and really loved that. So maybe where Paul's saying recapitalize on that space, inserting a testimonial that leads itself to that would be a great opportunity.
Great idea.
And then the other thing, I'm going to interrupt Paul here, but one thing I think that would be a great opportunity would be shoppable pins on Pinterest. Have you kind of spent any time on that platform?
No, actually.
So,
not much at all.
Yeah.
We sort of looked it over, but nothing in terms of getting our products on there.
So I really think that you're probably missing the mark by not looking at what you can do to further extend your footprint on Pinterest. We make a joke in the office that I'm probably a Pinterest addict. Mm-hmm. So I went over there and I just typed in a couple of things to see if you guys came up. Some photos come up, but there are shoppable pins, which are an opportunity to do some advertising on Pinterest. I would look into what you can do there to further your brand footprint, because that's where people are going and looking and saving things, both in the I'm pregnant and researching process, but also in the I have somebody close to me and would like to gift them something maybe they haven't thought of process. So those are both two areas maybe you could look at a little bit further.
Yep. And a final note on all of this too. What individuals are looking for when they're gifting, when they're buying a gift for someone, they want to know that it's really simple. And FTD really built their, you know, the marketing behind that and talking about how it's so simple, it's not a hassle. So make sure that that process of someone gifting extender to someone is extremely simple and all they have to do is give their credit card information.
Right. People are in a rush and they want it yesterday.
Exactly. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
So we're up to our third caller of the day, but don't forget you can call into our voicemail line. Leave us your name, your company information, and your question, and you could be featured on an upcoming episode of The Business Breakdown. To do so, give us a call at 855-POTRATS. That's 855-POTRATS. But for now, let's get into that third caller of the day. Lynn, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for calling the Paul Potratz Show. We're glad to have you.
And thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
So let us know a little bit about your company and what your question is for Paul.
Okay. So my name is Lynn Neal, and I'm an independent sales director with Mary Kay Skincare and Cosmetics. And my question for you today, Paul and Samantha, is how do you increase the response rate from warm prospects and referrals? And I use various ways of communicating from the phone call, texting, emailing, and other social media. In fact, my warm prospects are willing to give me their contact information. They know I'm going to call them, and they know why. So I'm curious if you have any tips on engaging them to respond, even if they've changed their mind, so I can move on. And in fact, when do you like actually give up and say, okay, I'm not going to call anymore? So I would love to know that.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Lynn. So when you're, let's kind of back up a little bit. So on the warm prospects, when you're talking about warm prospects, more or less you're saying that, let me clarify this to make sure I understand what you're asking on this.
Yeah.
So you want individuals not to waste your time. They want, you want them to say, yes, I'm interested, or no, I'm not. So you don't continue to try to call them. Is that what you're basically asking how to do?
Yes.
Okay. I think the best policy for that is just honesty. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we're trying to sell, or, you know, when you're in that mode that we feel like we have to be so buttery sweet and we have to, you know,
a little fake, kind of professional
fake.
Almost.
Yeah.
But we're people, and especially your business is a very people face-to-face, you're there to help them kind of business.
Yeah.
And, you know, for years, I mean, because, you know, growing the agency and stuff, you know, I was always the best salesperson because I was passionate and I wanted to make sure it was, you know, really successful. And I know I encountered that problem so many times that an individual would say something like, if I would accidentally get them on the phone, like they would accidentally pick up the phone thinking it was their buddy to talk about, you know, what they're going to go do. And they'd be like, hey. And then their reply would be, tell me if you've ever heard this one. Well, just send me something.
Send me a catalog. Yeah.
And I would, you know, so many times, I mean, even before I had the agency, I was in sales and I would tell my sales manager, I've got, you know, 27 people that asked me to send something. And, you know, I would use that as an opportunity to feel better about my, you know, possible sales commission for the month. But let's be honest. When someone says, send me something, they really don't have enough, I guess you can say, moxie to actually say, I'm not really interested. And so finally, I realized one day after I had over 200 people that said, send me something, that this has got to stop because this is not feeding my dogs.
Yeah.
So when someone says, send me something, my reply became, can I ask you a question? And they're like, yeah, what? Are you telling me to send you something because you don't see the value yet, that you don't see that how it's going to help you? Are you telling me to send you something because you don't understand what I'm trying to offer you? Or are you telling me to send you something because that's your way to just get me off the phone?
Oh, you say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
I mean, I think a lot of people appreciate honesty. And I mean, I don't say it the way in the tone I just said it. I say, you know, I say it in a kind of a playful way. Mm-hmm. And then I would just break into it. And
well,
go,
you're giving somebody the opportunity to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They're kind of trying to beat around the bush. And like you said, you don't want to waste your time and you don't want to waste their time. So you're letting them, you're opening the door for them to say, well, you know what, Lynn, I really appreciate you reaching out to me. However, ..
Yeah. And just come up with your own unique way on that. And you know, pose your questions. And if they say, you know, or another way that I would do it occasionally too, I would say, can I be honest with you, Lynn? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to say, yeah, sure. Okay. Well, what normally happens is when someone tells me to send something, it's because I have not done a good job of conveying why this product or this service, you know, whatever it is, why this service is going to help them save time or save money or whatever it is. And I just want to ask, have I not done a good job convincing you of how this is going to help you? And I would just be point blank. And I mean, and that's sales. And, you know, if they say, well, no, you haven't done a good job, then I would just go back. And I mean, a lot of times as salespeople, what we want to do as salespeople is we want to try to convince that someone says, oh, wow, that's really expensive. We try to convince them it's not. But we never know, you know, what is their stage of life. Maybe it is expensive to them. If they're saying it's expensive to them, acknowledge it and say, you know, I hear that often. However, the individuals that said it's expensive have come to find blank. Mm-hmm. So just acknowledge it. Don't ever try to, you know, resell them on something. Agree with them, acknowledge it, and explain your benefit to them. But just be honest to them. I mean, just honesty. Honesty is the best policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with that one.
Yeah. So I think that's as simple as that. Just, you know,
get a little comfortable being uncomfortable, because it's going to feel a little awkward maybe the first time you step out and do it, and then you'll see you get reception to it, and it'll be, you know, something you go to. But other than that, also just pay attention to what time you're talking to those individuals, what's going to work for them based on their lifestyle, know your type of client and contact them at that point. And also ask them what their preferred method of contact is, because you can do that across all platforms. We're kind of running out of time, but we've done that in email on our end as an agency. Hey, you know, where are you in this process? Are you still deciding? Are you trying to blow us off? And honestly, that's probably the email we get the most response to, because we're having an honest conversation and calling somebody on the carpet a little bit.
And the last 2 points, say what you mean what you say, and don't ever make them a dead lead. Put them into a nurture program and keep on, and you never know. It could be 6 months, it could be 3 years, but build that database. Lynn, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling the Business Breakdown. Yep. If you want your business featured on the upcoming episode of the Business Breakdown, give us a call at 855-POTRATS. And if you missed any of today's callers, don't forget you can listen anytime on the iHeartRadio app. You can listen to the Paul Potratz Show on demand. Just search Paul Potratz Show on the free iHeartRadio app and listen to this week's show or any archive segments of the Business Breakdown. So now let's get into our action item of the week, kind of the closing thoughts we can leave everybody with, something to do that's going to be a game changer or build value for them in their business. And I had an idea for our action item of the week. Did I tell you what it was?
No. I mean, you do that a lot to me. It's like you just roll these things out and I just have to play catch up. So that's okay. But I'm good with that.
I'm paying you back for the first couple shows we did.
Uh-huh. Oh, well.
So I was thinking of what is something that I do that's built value for me and our business, and what's something, maybe a recommendation I could make. And it's actually saying thank you, but in the form of actual snail mail.
Oh, really? I thought it was going to be something like the way you dress, that you always pull out these wonderful outfits and stuff, and then everybody's like, Samantha.
I have stiff competition sitting next to you.
Yeah.
So I think we can talk about style, but I think style also goes to kind of what you make people think of when they think of you, mm-hmm. and how you leave an impression on them. And that's something I've adapted, is a thank you card after I meet somebody, whether or not there's a business opportunity. And I do it by snail mail, not email.
Yeah, I agree. And I've always, as you know, been together for years now, but I've always been a big believer in sending thank you cards. I mean, think about it. How many new people have you met in the last 90 days?
Mm-hmm.
A lot. How many thank you cards have you received in the last 90 days?
I pretty much only received anything that said the word thank you if there was a business opportunity associated with it. Yeah. For them, really.
Yeah, for them. Yeah. And I mean, but even then, you think about it. How many times have you received an old school paper thank you card with old school ink?
Yeah.
In the mail for someone that wanted your money, somebody that wanted to do business with you.
Can't tell you the last time, to be honest.
So then I don't even have to ask you the question, when was it the last time you met someone that they didn't want any money from you, but they met you, but they just took the time out of their day and sent you a thank you?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. And that's why I think it's an advantage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. People don't even a lot of times, and I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm just talking about how can you really show a whole different level of who you are and how you appreciate people. But I, you know, just thinking this year, the number of graduation gifts that I've sent, and baby shower gifts and, you know, different gifts. And I don't even receive thank you cards on those.
That's so funny that you say that. I was actually just thinking about that because my birthday is next weekend. And I believe the only reason I still get presents at my age from family members is because I always send thank you cards.
Yeah.
And I'll tell anybody, you should have sent thank you cards all these years. You'd still be getting gifts. And that's not what it's about. But it's one of those reasons I truly think that I've made an impression. And because I'm truly appreciative, that opportunity still exists. And that's, I've translated that into my business practices.
Yeah. I mean, and I know that, you know, like where I've gone to conferences and I've met individuals that were actually competitors to us and met them, but I enjoyed the conversation. They were stand-up kind of individuals that I just liked them.
Yeah.
And I would send them a thank you card.
Actually, just did that. I was at a conference and really enjoyed somebody's keynote. Never had an opportunity to talk to them, but I bet they'll, next time I go up and see them, it'll recall, subconsciously recall that, you know, hey, I took the time out to say thank you. Your speech meant a lot. I appreciated the value you provided.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, one step farther too, after you send the thank you card, I would definitely go and connect with them on social media.
LinkedIn is a great opportunity that I think a lot of people forget about. Like, it's our digital resume, but there's a huge opportunity to build influence in that platform by going up and friending or linking with people.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like when I send a thank you card, I try to decide, do I put a business card in there or do I not put a business card in there? Because my business card has a photo on it, it has a picture of me. So I to really try to create that, because you meet so many people, sometimes it's hard to remember those individuals, but sometimes I do the business card, sometimes I don't. It's just, you know,
I think it depends the environment.
Yeah.
If it's somebody I went and met in a small setting, chances are they're going to remember who I am.
Right.
But then, you know, a large conference, for example, I just came back from, the people I met and had an opportunity to talk to include a business card because, like you said, our photo's on there. So great other little tidbit photo on your business card. And then people, you know, that I didn't get to talk to you. It's not relevant. It makes it seem salesy.
Right. What do you think the best process is? I mean, what have you found to be the best process for thank you cards? To make sure that it happens.
Well, I, first of all, have a whole stack in my office. So that way I don't have to worry about getting them. And they are embossed with our company information, our company name on them.
Yeah, but they're simple.
They're simple.
It's not
just
a
postcard.
Pitch.
It's just a postcard. Nothing else. Just the
postcard,
the name.
With the company name on it.
I always put it on my calendar. So when I know I'm going to a conference or I know I'm going to meet people specifically because those are planned opportunities, I put it on my calendar for 2 days after I come back to the office so I can declutter my email. And then I send them out, just write them all in about an hour or write them when I'm on the couch because honestly, I can use to be off my phone for 5 minutes.
Right.
So, and then also just every day, every night, think about who you met or who you interacted with that day. And usually what I do is when I'm, after I've cooked dinner, relaxed on the couch for a few minutes, I write a couple thank you cards.
Right.
Because if I can't be, if I can't provide gratitude every day, then I feel like I kind of miss that opportunity to make that connection.
Yeah. And I really took pride in my thank you cards. I mean, my thank you cards don't have ink on them, but they're embossed with my name on it. I take pride in it. It's nice paper. I get my fancy little pen out. I write the thank you cards and people can see that extra little flavor that I used my little fountain pen and actually sent them a thank you card.
Yeah,
I think it's huge.
You get a lot of feedback on that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do. Especially if my thank you card has to get, if it gets, like the envelope, if it gets wet a little bit, then the fountain pen ink always runs. And they're like, were you crying when you said that?
So, it's like your mascara was running.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go.
Well, we're running out of time for today, but if you missed anything we talked about, you can listen to us on the iHeartRadio app on demand by searching The Paul Potrat Show. In today's show, we discussed how you may be paying for fraud, click fraud that is, how you can acknowledge your team through leadership and visit paulpotrats.com to check out that fish video, and how you can change the game and build value with a simple thank you card. So be sure to like and find the Paul Potrat's Facebook page where we'll be sharing strategies and continuing today's conversation over on the Paul Potrat's Facebook page. Until next week, we'll see you.
I have one thought. Sorry.
What's that?
So here it is, really quick. If you're a business owner and you're doing pay-per-click advertising and you think you might be subject to fraud, go to paulpotrats.com and we will do a free evaluation and tell you. There you go. All right, wrap it up.
Okay. Because then it goes to Duke so he can wrap it up.
Okay.
You've been listening to The Paul Potrat Show. Paul is the architect behind Potrat's Advertising, an international consulting and advertising agency based in Schenectady, New York.
For more info or to learn how to work with Paul and the Potrat's team to grow your business and improve your processes, visit paulpotratz.com. That's Paul, P-O-T-R-A-T-Z.com.
And join Paul and Samantha next Sunday morning at 11, right here on WGY.